Welcome to the Illuminating Lives podcast. I'm Israel Smith, well-being and resilience coach for high-achieving, successful dads who want more meaning and purpose in their lives without the stress, burnout, and overwork. I'll share how you can make simple changes to your mindset, habits, and choices to stop those racing thoughts and angry outbursts and create more time, more energy, more balance, and a lighter, calmer head and heart. This podcast is for you if you're ready to learn how to thrive in our uncertain world, prioritize your own well-being and mental health, improve your relationships with your partner and kids, rediscover some fun, and get back on track to living your best life every day. I'm stoked you're here. Hey there, dear listener. It's Israel back again with another episode of the Illuminating Lives podcast, and thank you so much for being here. Today, I want to ask a very simple but very, very important question. What are you tolerating? What are you tolerating? Now, I want to slice this a few different ways. What are you tolerating with respect to your health? What are you tolerating with respect to your career? What are you putting up with respect to your finances? What are you tolerating with respect to your physical fitness or your flexibility? What are you tolerating in your relationships, in your environment at home, in any of these dimensions? I could go on, but I think you get the idea. What are you tolerating? What are you putting up with? Another way of thinking about this is, what have you normalized that does not deserve to be normalized? What things have you made the norm that are in fact completely not normal? Working 60 to 80 hours a week, have you normalized that? Are you tolerating constantly waking up tired? Are there health niggles that you've been dealing with over and over again for so long that they have become part of the tapestry of your life and are no longer thought of as unusual? This episode has come from a couple of important conversations, one with a client of mine and another with my wife. And I asked her permission before I share some of the details here because, you know, these sorts of conversations are important to share, right? But they're also important to respect boundaries and privacy. So in this situation, my wife said, sure, share away. So here's the thing. My wife has been struggling with her health for, I'm going to say, a few years now. There's been a few little things that have been just adding up and then disappearing into the background of her life. And then a new thing will start and that'll add up. And then that just becomes part of the background of her life. Until finally, in the most recent couple of months, she's really struggled to walk on the beach and to exercise because of this chronic sharp pain in one of her feet. And she's getting it looked at. She's trying a few different modalities to treat this. But one of the overarching things that she's realized is when she really sat down and took stock of the different things about her health that she's not satisfied with right now, that she has been tolerating, she told me that there was actually quite a laundry list. There was quite a list of things that she was really unhappy with, but had just fallen out of the habit of thinking it was unusual. Her body and her brain had adapted and made it normal in her life. Now, as humans, we have this incredible adaptability. We can adapt to extremes of temperature. We can adapt to really, really challenging and in some cases toxic situations socially, emotionally, mentally, because we have to survive. Our brains are wired for survival. And all of these things that we do that keep us alive day in and day out, our brain starts to habituate. So we don't even notice that we get up in the morning, we go to the bathroom, we make a coffee, or we brush our teeth, or we jump in the shower, or whatever. All these things that we do first thing in the morning after waking, they're kind of on autopilot. That's the way our brain operates. But it also does the same thing when we have something going wrong with our health. Have you ever had this experience where, say, you maybe sprain an ankle, or you get a cut on your hand or on your foot or a leg or something. And for the first day, it's all you can think about. It's all you notice. And then over time, you don't notice it so much. Even if you look at your hand or your leg and the cut's still there, it hasn't healed over. Maybe there's a scab, maybe it's doing some healing, but there's still an injury. And when you bump it, whew, that hurts. But otherwise, you don't notice it anymore. That's an example of how adaptable our brains are and how powerfully they work to normalize things so we can just survive and carry on about our lives. Now, in a busy modern environment like the one which we all live in, there are plenty of things that are not normal. The amount of time we sit on our butts every day at a desk or in a car or on the couch, that's not normal behavior for humans, but we normalize it, we get used to it, we adapt. We are not supposed to eat or drink as much, you know, non-nutritious stuff like sugar or fat or alcohol or whatever. In fact, probably not fat. Fat's pretty good. But we normalize it. We normalize having a couple of drinks after work, or we normalize having that coffee to kickstart us in the morning, or we normalize having some ice cream after dinner or a couple of blocks of chocolate or like squares of chocolate or whatever. Like these things we do that become habits, we don't even notice anymore. And it's really, really important for us to take stock from time to time and just sit quietly and think, what am I tolerating? What am I putting up with that is actually not normal, that is taking away my sense of joy or taking away my sense of health or well-being? What am I putting up with that is creating an environment in which I'm not thriving? Now, this is something my wife has had to deal with. She's had to confront a few things about the way she works, the way she eats, and the way she, the relationship she has, I suppose, to her health, to her body physically. And this raises a really, really powerful point about this. When we simply tolerate or put up with things, we can go like that for a while. But ultimately, if things are out of balance and we are tolerating or putting up with something for too long, we reach a crisis point. We reach a point at which it's no longer workable. It's no longer something we can tolerate or ignore or put up with. And at that point, when things get critical and when, say, our body or our emotions or our mental capacity or mental health or whatever it is reaches bottom, reaches empty, reaches burnout, then we have to act. We have to correct course. And there's a cost. The cost of our inaction or our tolerating these things adds up to lengthy recovery, where we have to take extreme actions for a period of time to correct course and to come back to where we ought to be. Like, to give you an example, my amazing wife has been investigating all the different options to get her health back on track and to overcome this laundry list of challenges she's normalized. And it's going to take months. And for those months, it's going to take really significant changes to how she eats, how she exercises, what she does day in and day out to care for her body and to realign it back to health. When we get completely off path, it's really rare that we're able to just sort of flick a switch and get back on path. I can recall when I was totally off path just before my son Real was born, when I got my first really big burnout depression and was diagnosed for the first time. I had gone so far off path that it took me almost a year to get back to normal. And that wasn't a year of only doing little bits here and there. That was a year of concentrated focus on every aspect of my lifestyle, my diet, my overall nutrition, alcohol consumption, coffee consumption, vitamin supplementation, better sleep, modest appropriate exercise, downtime away from work, minimizing stress, learning to calm my thoughts and do some meditations. Like all of these things, they took a lot of energy and a lot of effort to bring myself back from the brink. In the same way, that's what my wife's looking down the barrel of for the next probably 6 or 8 months of her life. There's a cost. When we tolerate things, when we put up with things that are not normal, there is a cost. And so I ask you again, what are you tolerating? What are you putting up with in any area of your life? Maybe there's a few things in one specific area like health. Maybe there are some things in respect to your work or your job. Maybe there are some things with regards to your finances. Maybe you've got habits around work and play that are not balanced. Maybe you spend far too much time working and hardly any time off. And that's a habit, and it's a thing that you are putting up with because you don't need to live in that way. All right, I am evidence that it's possible to have a balanced, joy-filled life doing work that you love and earning enough money to feed your family and have a roof over your head. I'm evidence of that. And if I can do it, you can do it. And I'm one of millions around the world who do this, who have a great balance of all of the things. But full disclosure, there are things I've been tolerating as well. I've been tolerating getting a little heavier as I get older. I've been gradually expanding around the midsection, as a lot of men do in their mid-40s. And I've been putting up with that. And there's a couple of reasons. One of the reasons, I haven't really noticed it until I stopped and took stock and looked at myself really honestly in the mirror. And in fact, I caught a glimpse of myself in the mirror at the osteo and I went, oh my God, there's a lot more around the midsection than I remember. But then another reason is I've been able to, I guess, align everything else in my life, and I've now created a sense of resilience and a sense of space that I can take an honest reflection and inventory of the different aspects of my life. And I've built the capacity to then take these actions. But there's a cost as well. Right now, at the weight that I am at, I find it really hard to surf one of my favorite surfboards because I'm probably about 5 kilos too heavy to paddle it. I'm not quite fit enough to get onto waves on that board. And it's a great board. And so that's a challenge. That's a cost. I'm not as fit. I'm not as agile. And if I'm being really honest and really blunt with myself about this, I'm putting myself on the path of a foreshortened life with a higher chance of chronic illness because of this extra little bit of weight I'm carrying around the middle. They are costs I'm no longer willing to bear. And seeing myself in that mirror and recognizing how far I had let my body drift from the path I want to be on with my personal physical health, that was my reckoning. That was my point at which I realized, okay, I need to take actions, which takes me to, what do we do here? First of all, we obviously need to find a bit of quiet time and honestly reflect on where are we in our life. And I've created a tool to help you with that. It's called my Life Alignment Audit. All right. It gives you a score from 1 or from 0 to 10 in a whole range of different aspects of your life. It's a way for you to just put a simple numerical value on what's going on in your world and how do you think you're doing. But when you really reflect on that, if I said to you right now, in the area of your personal physical health, how would you rate yourself out of 10? For some of you, that'd be a 10. You eat really well, you exercise regularly, you don't smoke, you drink very minimally, and you have a really, really healthy relationship with your body and with food. For others, it might be a 0 or a 1. You may be really struggling. You may not even be conscious of how you treat your physical body. It may be such a dissociated, detached part of your life that you have no concept and no connection with it at all. And both of those are completely fine and completely valid. The question is, if you are tolerating something about your life, particularly in this situation or example as it pertains to your personal physical health, what is that costing you? What is it costing you? Are you willing to continue to bear that cost? Now, this can be confronting, right? That's why I suggest take some quiet time to reflect. Give yourself the opportunity to have a realistic conversation with yourself about this. Maybe get a blank couple of pieces of paper and do some writing. What am I tolerating? And just see what flows. I'll put a link into the show notes. Jump over to my survey. See what your life alignment audit is telling you. How aligned are you? How happy are you with these different elements in your life that you'll see in this survey? There's 12 different dimensions I've called out, and I think it gives a really good holistic picture of your life. So what does that mean? How does that show up for you? What is your alignment like? And then the final part about this is be courageous in listening to your truth. If you love your body and you love where you are at with your physical health, then you're probably going to rate yourself a 10. And there's nothing to do there. You're not tolerating anything. You've taken action on all the things that you want to change or that you want to be different in that particular part of your life. However, if there are some things that you are relating to where you are tolerating some things, where you are struggling or you are feeling out of alignment, like things really aren't firing on all cylinders, it's easy to get overwhelmed. And I'm saying this next part as a bit of a guide to stop you switching off this podcast and then collapsing in a puddle of overwhelm and despair. Here's the strategy. Choose one area of your life where you feel like you want things to be a little different, to change, to improve. One area only. Now, within that, choose one thing. Only one aspect. So, for instance, if we use physical fitness or physical health, let's say physical health, right? I could choose that I wanted to lose some weight and get some cardio and build some muscle and exercise more and change how I eat and drink less coffee and all of the rest of it. That's too many things to change at once. Even though it's only relating to one aspect of my life, my physical fitness or physical health, it's too much. So I might say, for instance, for my physical health, I'm going to cut back on sugar. Now, I'm speaking from personal first-hand experience because I have a profound sweet tooth and have been hitting the chocolate a little bit hard over the last couple of months, I'll be honest. So, I'm going to commit to eating less sugar. Just that one thing. And then normalizing that new behavior. Adapting and creating habits around that new behavior, not reaching for the old gold in the cupboard after every meal. Limiting myself to just one night a week where I indulge in some dessert and not having those sweet afternoon tea snacks. Now, in so doing, I'm letting myself focus on just one area. I'm not overwhelming myself. I'm not pushing too hard in too many different areas. I'm just choosing one thing. That laser focus will help me, in fact, has already helped me get some results. I've lost a couple of kilos already from when I started down this path. And I'm able to take these actions because I haven't reached crisis point. I've reached a point where I'm no longer willing to bear the cost, but it's not crisis yet for me. In my lovely wife's situation, it's slightly different. The choices that she's made over the past couple of years have reached a point where her health is really beginning to cause some grief, where she can no longer take a long walk on the beach because her feet play up so much. There's too much inflammation in her body, and it's starting to manifest in other ways, which means she has more work to do more actively. It's going to consume more willpower and energy for her, and require more focus and discipline over the long term to correct course. This is why this job, this process is important before we reach crisis, before we reach the critical inflection point where we don't have a choice anymore. Now, when it comes to taking actions, this is a little bit about future casting or goal setting, right? And it's a bit about identity. So if you want to change something about your life, first of all, as I said, choose one area and then choose one aspect of that one area. So in my physical fitness, eat less sugar. Now, what's the outcome I would like? Well, ultimately, I know that by cutting down on my sugar intake, I will just naturally lose weight. I have that kind of metabolism and my body will adapt to having less sugary crap and it will start dropping weight. So for me, I have a number in my mind of where I would like to be when I get on the scales in the morning. I'm not going to punish myself into submission to get there, but I am going to take the long-term approach of healthier lifestyle choices to get to that. I'm going to say that by the end of this year, I would like to have reached that number. So by New Year's Eve this year, I would like to be at, I'm going to declare it here on the podcast, 94 kilos. And so that to me has a specific outcome and a specific date that I believe is realistic and achievable. As I'm recording this, I've got over 2 months to do that. So I think that's manageable. That's a respectable amount of weight loss per week. And just through choosing better food. Now, there are two other parts to this. What's the outcome? Specifics. What's the date? What's the first micro action? Now, the first micro action I'm going to take is to stop bloody buying chocolate at the shops. Simple. Not in the house, not something I can eat. Or it has a higher barrier, right? It's less likely for me to put it in my gob if it just doesn't happen in the house, if it's not in the pantry in the first place. I'm more likely to reach for something like a handful of cashews or a glass of water with some lemon or something like that if there's no sweets available. So I choose a micro action to get me moving that has a really low barrier to entry that is going to support this goal or this new habit I want to form. And then finally, just start. So Friday, 28th of October, I'm recording this. I have started already. And I'm continuing on this path to hit 94 kgs by the end of the year. Here are the pitfalls. Procrastinating. Shout out to one of my clients, you know who you are, who does this a lot. Procrastinating is this beautiful mashup of procrastination by overplanning. Have you ever done that? I've done it from time to time. I know how it feels. Even just straight up procrastination, delaying it, putting off, failing to commit, or getting ready to get ready. Like, I will only be able to take action on this particular objective of eating less chocolate and less sugar in my day once I have cleaned out my office and gone surfing 12 times and done 6 weeks worth of work and cleaned out the wardrobe and bought a set of scales and done 12 other things that are unnecessary. That's getting ready to get ready. It's putting actions in front of the real action you need to take to make a difference. What do I actually need to do? I just need to stop buying the crap. I just need to stop buying the crap first. Second, stop putting it in my mouth, make different choices. It's kind of that simple. Take another choice. Sleep. What time do you go to bed of a night time? Say you wanted to improve that. Say your habit is to go to bed about 11:30 or 12 every night and you want to improve that. Set a small goal. Instead of 11:30, make it 11:15. Keep on that for a week. Then make it 11. Keep on that for a week. Then make it, say, 10:30. Keep on that for a week. Just make micro commitments that you can stick with easily that have a really low barrier to entry. And what are we doing here? We are forming new habits. We're creating new pathways in our brain and new ways of operating in the world that no longer tolerate the things that we have normalized. Now, another part of this I want to share with you is this beautiful thing, which I think I've talked about on the podcast before, by a guy called James Clear, who wrote the book Atomic Habits. Fabulous book, highly recommend. Check it out if you want to really learn all of the ins and outs about how to build great habits. But let me give you the condensed shortcut. one of the most powerful things you can do to create a great habit, apart from getting really specific, getting really, really small and just starting, is creating an identity around that habit. For example, he talks about in the book, a lady who, say for argument's sake, her name is Jan. She wants to lose weight. She wants to, you know, get healthier overall. And so she creates an identity, like an alter ego, like a persona called Healthy Jan. And whenever she's confronted by a new choice in her day that maybe has an impact on her health, for example, how does she get to and from work? What is she having for lunch? Is she having an afternoon tea snack? Does she really want that extra caramel shot in the coffee at Starbucks or what have you? She asks herself, what does Healthy Jan do? What would Healthy Jan do in this situation? And so Healthy Jan gets off the bus a couple of stops early and walks the extra couple of blocks. Healthy Jan chooses the salad over the burger and fries. Healthy Jan doesn't have the caramel shot in the coffee, but in fact just has it black without the milk and without the sugar. Healthy Jan doesn't have the third cup of coffee, instead has a cup of hot water or a herbal tea or maybe even just some water. Healthy Jan starts to become an identity. I am Healthy Jan, as opposed to what would Healthy Jan do? And those behaviors and those habits become internalized. It's a great and really powerful way to go from what have I been tolerating? What specific one thing do I want to change and make a way of life? And then what identity can I create around that to make that more habitual more quickly? So as I said, I'm going to put in the show notes a link to my life alignment audit. Think about this question. What are you tolerating as you think about your life and the different dimensions of that alignment audit that I'm going to put in the links? And then from there, make a choice. What's one thing you would like to be different in one specific area and one aspect within that area of your life? All right, could be finances. Save an extra $20 a week. Simple, small, achievable. Well, I'm assuming maybe it's achievable. Maybe it requires some sacrifices. Health, relationships, creativity, physical fitness, career, spirituality, all of these things. Get really specific about which one of them you're going to start working in, what's one aspect of that you're going to do something about, and then start the action. Set an outcome, set a date, figure out the first micro action, and just do it. And if you ever need a reminder, take a look back at what have you been tolerating? What is this costing you? What is your truth about this specific situation in your life? And what do you want future you to experience? All right, let's think about that for a minute too. I'm 45 now. 10 years from now, I'll be 55, still relatively speaking in my prime. 50 is apparently the new 40, which is the new 30, which is the new 21 or some crap, I don't even know. But I'm anticipating having a fit, active, agile, flexible, healthy life right through into my 70s and 80s. I want to live fully. I want to surf all the way until I keel over. I want to have that opportunity to have a vital, enjoyable, active experience of life right through. But 10 years from now, when I'm 55, hopefully gearing up for retirement, fingers crossed, or at least a mini retirement, at that point in my life, how do I want to live? Well, I definitely don't want to be carrying an extra 5 or 10 or 20 kilos. And the choices that I make now are going to directly influence that guy, that future version of Israel, at age 55. The practices I put in place now, the decisions I make now, the honest and perhaps courageous conversations I have with myself now about what have I been tolerating are going to directly influence how I am 10 years from now. Directly. Same goes for you. Picture yourself on your current path 10 years down the track. If nothing changes, if you don't have this honest conversation about what are you tolerating, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? That was actually one of the motivating factors that got my lovely wife, Belle, onto this new path she's on about taking charge of her health, apart from the fact that she's just sick of walking around in pain. When I celebrated my 45th birthday a month ago, I said, oh, I'm halfway to 90. And being a little older than I am, she reflected on the fact that by the time I reach 90, she will reach 99. And we started having that fairly grim conversation about, are either of us still going to be here? And we realized, well, actually, we still want to be here. We still want to be living and laughing and loving and having a great old time together at that age. But based on the current trajectory of both of our lives, fitness-wise, health-wise, activity-wise, we probably wouldn't make it and we wouldn't be able to enjoy the things we want to enjoy at that age. So this future casting, this future version of you, the actions you take now are an investment in them and their experience of life. So what are you tolerating? What is this costing you? What is your truth around this? What is the likely outcome in 10 years from now if nothing changes? And then what is the one area of your life and the one action you want to take to change? Create an outcome, set a date, do the first micro action, start, and if it helps, build a new identity about how you want to show up. Check out the links for the Life Alignment Audit. Think about what you are tolerating in your life. I hope this has been super useful for you, and I cannot wait to help you and chat again in future episodes. Have an amazing day wherever you are, and know that I'm sending you all of my love and all of my gratitude. I'll see you next episode. Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Illuminating Lives podcast. If you're the kind of person that likes helping other people, then please share this around if you found it to be valuable. And remember to leave me a great 5-star review in Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. I've really enjoyed being here supporting you, and I trust this is going to have a positive impact in your life. Remember, I work as a one-to-one coach, corporate workshop facilitator, and professional speaker. So if you would like to work with me one-to-one, have me educate and support your team, or present at your upcoming event, please reach out via the details in my show notes. Have a fantastic day, and I'll see you on the next episode.